Good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? Well, welcome to Community Christian Fellowship. My name is Seth Johns. I'm the youth pastor here. And I got a couple announcements for you guys this morning. First things first, if this is your first time joining with us, we do have a gift for you. If you go out these doors here and take a right, you will see the countertops there and some white gift bags. In there is a gift for you, as well as a little connect card that you can fill out and hand into the office. That helps us get to know you a little bit and get connected with you as well. Hey, we still have some need for some childcare volunteers on Wednesday nights for the youth leaders' children, and we have an all-new children's wing that you can use during that time, too. So that's Wednesday nights, 6:30 to 8 p.m. We usually have a sign-up sheet out here on the counter that you can sign up for. I don't think we have anyone quite yet for this Wednesday, so it's a great thing to hop on over there and write your name down there and be ready for Wednesday, the craziness of helping with kids. We're going to have a time of dedication over our new children's wing at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday, October 26th. So make sure that you mark your calendars for that time, and we have Sunday school starting not long after that week. So that week is a slight adjustment, a little earlier than you usually get here. That way you're getting a step towards Sunday school too. With that in mind, Sunday school classes for all ages are going to be starting on Sunday, November 2nd. And Awana clubs are going to be starting on Wednesday, November 5th. So those will both be here before we know it, and we're excited for those times too. We have our Trunk and Treat event coming up Wednesday, October 29th, beginning at 6:30 p.m. We'll be out in the parking lot, and this is always just a great event for everyone at our church. You know, the youth kids, we always help run the games and whatnot. We have a whole bunch of the families that do a different trunk, and you can sign up to do a trunk as well. And then the kids just get to walk through and enjoy everything that we have prepared for that. So make sure that you mark your calendars, sign up for a trunk, and you can also donate candy out at the table in the lobby as well. One more thing this morning. We have our Operation Christmas Child boxes out there. We're going to be recollecting them November 12th. So make sure you go ahead and grab a box, grab a paper with instructions on what to put in, and go ahead and start filling those and bringing those in. Hey, at this time, I want to invite up Dawn, because Dawn and Karen Tabor have been missionaries that we've been supporting here, and Thank you for sharing. This is our second month into what we've been doing is highlighting missionaries each month. So this month we'll be highlighting the Tabers. So like they said, go back. Right now is a special opportunity because you don't get this with every missionary that you get to actually get a chance to talk to them after the service. But we'll be highlighting and trying to have some information for them this month as well. Would you all join with me in prayer this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we can gather together this morning. God, we're thankful and grateful for all that you've done through all the different missionaries that we support. God, we thank you for the what we get to hear from the Tabers this morning. God, would you just continue to bless their ministry? Would you just continue to provide them safety and travels and their interactions with other missionaries that they're working with? And God, would you inspire us as well? God, would you lead our hearts if we're called to go into missions, whether that's out further across, maybe out of our country, or whether that's here in our country. But God, would we be inspired to not be lazy, but to be missionaries of you in the world that we're in each and every day, whether that's at school, whether that's at our jobs, whatever we're doing, God, will we be focused on making you known to the world around us? We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, good morning, everybody. This is a great day. We just love the time when we can celebrate people's faith in Christ and them testifying to it in baptism. And we have two people coming today. We have Caitlin Bartash and Kylie Snyder. I'll be baptizing Caitlin, and Pastor Seth, after he gets changed, will be baptizing Kylie. And so a lot of shifting in and out here this morning. But just a reminder, you've all heard me say this before, but baptism is a testimony time. It really is people sharing openly and totally identifying with Christ in the process of baptism that they've come to faith in Christ alone. Baptism follows our salvation, follows our faith, and is a step of obedience to Jesus to testify that we know him and are walking with him. And so I just encourage you, if you've never been baptized and you are a follower of Jesus, that you would consider doing that. I know the Lord's blessing is in that as we follow him. So I encourage that. Make sure you let me know if that's you. I also want to mention that if you're here today and you haven't come to faith in Christ, that it is a personal decision. But it's not related to the water, but it's related to the fact that Jesus has come and died for you and rose again so that your sins may be forgiven and you can be assured of your relationship with God. We're going to talk more about that in the sermon this morning, but being made right with God. So that's so important, and I trust that if that's where you're at, that you would consider the Lord's calling you to be his even today. Paul writes in Colossians 2:12, "You have been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." It's kind of interesting because today, in today's message in Romans 6, we'll actually be talking about a passage that sounds very much like what I just read from Colossians. Paul writes it twice here. And the point he's making, of course, is that baptism is the picture of complete identification with Christ, all right? That we have been crucified with Christ when we go down under the water. We've identified with him being buried, okay? We have died to ourselves, and we come alive and rise up from the water just like Jesus was raised from the dead. You know, there's no magic in any of this, but there is the blessing of God, okay? And certainly that's beyond what we can fully comprehend. And so we thank the Lord for that. So I'm going to ask our first person to come down, Caitlin Bartash, if you'd come on down. All right. Take your time. Okay. Good. Very good. Just come on this side over here. That's great. Caitlin, would you share with us all today how you've come to know Jesus as your Savior and what he's done in your life?
All right, so there was not just one moment when I realized I needed a Savior. It just added up. In high school, I was going through a rough time, and one of my friends sent me worship songs to listen to. They were Higher and Walking Away by Unspoken, a popular Christian band. After listening to them, I thanked him for helping me. Without hesitation, he told me to thank Jesus. Additionally, one day I saw a little cross deep in the rocks. Then I went back to that parking lot later that day. I looked in the same spot, and it was gone. The same day, I felt a very strong pull to wear my cross necklace, as if I could not leave my room without turning around to grab it, which I did. One time, I was asked if I believed Jesus was the Messiah. I said yes. The mind of the flesh does not lead to happiness, full happiness, I should say. Jesus has made a difference in my life by bringing hope, purpose, and most of all, love. I ask that Jesus will be my Savior. I desire to love the way he loved us all and see the world through his eyes, live for him, and always sing in the name of Jesus.
Amen. We'll just set that there.
Have you received Jesus Christ into your heart and believed in him and trusted in him for your salvation?
Yes.
Do you promise to follow him as he leads you?
Yes.
Well, based on your testimony and the authority of God's word, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Good job. Here's your testimony, too.
Okay, I'm going to turn this over to Pastor Seth for the baptism of Kylie Snyder. Come on up, Pastor Seth. Okay, this always happens. It takes a while for one to get down the steps and one to get up the steps. So should I tell a joke? Yeah, I heard the other day that 90% of bald men still have a comb. You know why? They just can't part with it. Okay, that's it.
Wow. I didn't realize we had a hot tub in here. Well, Kylie Snyder is coming to be baptized, and she will here in a brief second share her testimony once Pastor Glenn is out of the stairs. So, Kylie, do you want to share a little bit about your testimony?
Yeah, so I've always grown up in a Christian family. I was actually Catholic for the first 5 years of my life. So I was baptized when I was only like a month or so old. But as I've grown older, and especially as I have really made my own personal connection with the Lord, I felt like that this is finally the time, as I'm about to leave high school, to fully show my commitment as a Christian to Jesus. And I remember the moment when I personally was saved. It was about in third or fourth grade. I was in a Sunday school class with Miss Jen, and she just said at the end of the service, at the end of the Sunday school class, she was like, you know, if you weren't saved, like if you guys don't feel like you're saved, let's just all bow our heads and like, you know, just like reach out to Jesus. And in that moment, I just felt so convicted, you know, as that like 9 or 10 year old. And ever since then, I've always, you know, had that connection. So it's not really a crazy testimony, but I feel like, you know, finally in this moment, I feel like I'm ready to externally show that, you know, I'm committed.
Thank you.
So, Kylie, have you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Do you promise to follow him every day of your life?
Yes.
Based on your profession of faith in Jesus and the authority of God's word, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
And as Pastor Glenn was sharing earlier, if anyone else has not taken the step yet to proclaim your faith in Jesus Christ by means of baptism, reach out to us, let us know if that's something that you're ready to take your step towards. It's always powerful, I think, hearing the testimonies this morning when we have baptisms. So that's something that's always powerful to hear. And we'd love to hear your testimony, too. So at this time, I'm going to invite the worship team up, and let's all join in a word of prayer as we prepare to worship God this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning. God, we are thankful and grateful for all that you've done in the lives of people. God, we just praise you for the testimonies that we have of Caitlin and Kylie this morning, and that we can rejoice with them as a body of believers, coming together and just celebrating the decision that they've taken to proclaim Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. God, would you just continue to bless this body of believers as we go about our day-to-day? Will we share about you with the others around us? And as we do that, would they come to know you as well? God, prepare our hearts as we sing this worship to this morning. Would it just be a praise and glorifying prayer to you? And God, as we open up your word this morning, would we be challenged? Would it not just come in one ear and out the other? But God, will we choose to live for you each and every day based on your word? We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand as we worship? Thank you.
this mountain shall be moved, and the power of the gospel shall prevail. For we know in Christ all things are possible for those who call upon his name. We will stand. Suddenly articulate with a thousand tongues to lift one cry. Then from north to south and east to west, we'd hear Christ be magnified. Puts me in the fire, I'll rejoice to serve there too. I won't be formed by feelings, I'll hold fast to what is true. And if the cross brings transformation, I'll be crucified with you.
Because death is just the doorway into resurrection life. And if I join you in your
suffering, then I'll join you when you rise. And then you
return in glory with the angels and the saints. My heart will still be singing. My song will be the same. Oh, Christ be magnified. Let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life. Christ be magnified.
You may be seated. The children are dismissed to Children's Church.
I'm getting my exercise this morning. Yeah, up and down. I went back to use my comb. Just wanted you to know. Yeah, all right. Well, we're continuing in the study of Romans, and we will be in this for quite a while yet. We'll take a little break for Christmas time, but this will probably take us through to the end of next spring, beginning of summer. So this is actually message number 10. If you've missed any of them, you don't have an excuse. You can go on the website. You can find it on there, and you can listen to it. And even on the website also are usually, if you look around on the website, there's a place there where you can find the questions that I usually put together each week for the message, so you can kind of do a little study with that too. So hey, just encourage you, and sometimes a message really strikes you and you would like to share it with somebody. That's another way to do that. Encourage them to go check it out. Last Sunday, we ended the chapter 5, and just a reminder, I say this every time, but it's so important to think about that the chapters and the numbers were not inspired, okay? They were put in later to help us find different things, okay? They really sometimes are a problem because they divide our thinking when it really is one constant process of Paul speaking. And I think we've discovered that as we've been in this study already, that, you know, everything, and I mentioned last week, he's in this kind of circular educating mode where he repeats things, but then brings something else in. And so it's kind of this type of movement where we're being reminded of what he said, but we're also adding on so that we understand better what he said. And so ultimately his desire as he writes the Romans, the Roman Christians, is that they will really truly understand the gospel for their own sake, okay? So they really know what Christ has done for them. So they really know what their faith in Christ means. For they really know their position in Christ. And they really know that they are God's people. And also, of course, with that comes the understanding that knowing the gospel clearly in our own lives leads us to be a witness, to be an avenue that God uses for the gospel to go to other people as well. Appreciate the Tabers here, testimony today about going. You know, I was listening to another pastor this morning. I won't tell you who it was, okay, because, you know, I don't want any competition, but yeah. No, I tried to listen to different things, and they were talking about the fact, actually it was a missionary that was speaking, and he was talking about the fact that everybody is sent if you're a Christian, okay? The Great Commission is for all of us. It's not just for those that
that go overseas. I mean, there's certainly ones that God calls to go to a different people group, and that's so important. But all of us have opportunities, and we need to be looking for them and thinking about them. But Paul here, as he concluded last week's section we looked at, as we enter into this, which is a flow, but I want to kind of bring up the last verse that we looked at last week, and that is where he said, as you see it on the screen, "So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Paul uses that term over and over, that what Christ has done, what God has done through Christ for us, is that we are given right standing with God. Key word, given, okay? It's not from us, nothing we do, but it's what God has done in his grace. You notice that phrase in that section. It is God's wonderful grace that has brought this about. And now, through faith, we have that ruling in our life, and we're no longer under the control of sin. And that's where he goes today as we go into this next section in Romans chapter 6, the first part. Knowing that we are now, through faith in Christ, under a new rule. And it really is not so much a rule as it is a freedom, okay? We've been set free from slavery to sin. We've been brought into a new life. God is in the midst of transforming us to be all that he's already made us to be. Okay, it's right now, yeah, we have it, but yet we're still getting it, okay? It's justification by faith and then sanctification by the Holy Spirit as we grow to be more like him. And then finally, glorification, when we actually leave this earth and go to be with him, and all of it's fully realized. So he's pointing these things out. So in this next section, Paul gives guidance on how it is to live this life of being set free from the power of sin, no longer being under its condemnation, but now being free and in the wondrous grace of God. And so we read here, clarifying teaching on how we are to deal with sin as a Christian. Pastor, you just said that we're free of sin. We're free of the power. Well, yeah, we are, but we still deal with it, all right? It's still, we're not glorified yet. We're still dealing with it. And so this is a very important section here for how do we now live. So let's take a look at it. Romans 6, 1 to 14. It'll be on the screen, the New Living Translation. And Romans 6, chapter 6, starting at verse 1. "Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died, and we're buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace." Wow, what a word. Now, in the first part of this section we're looking at today, Paul wants the Romans to understand our new status in Christ and what that should not lead to, and then what it really should lead to. He begins with this question that, from our perspective, would seem like a logical question. I mean, he's talked about the fact that we no longer are under the power of sin, and that God shows his glory and grace by forgiving us, and we've certainly read in other sections where his grace is greater than all our sin, and so it sort of seems logical then, okay, well, if we sin more, then God forgives more, and so God looks better. Well, the problem is that really isn't a logical question in light of what the teaching is here. Remember, there's more to it than just one line. Paul's been writing all along about the depth of the gospel and the need that we have for a changed life, a transformed life. And certainly, if we're forgiven and then we continue to sin, it's certainly not representing God and what he has done, right? It's making really a fool out of God. Okay, it's not appropriate. Paul says, of course not. Now, you'll see him writing that several places in this book, all right, in this letter. He brings up a question. It's sort of like a lawyer in court, okay? He brings up a question that everybody might be thinking about, and then he shows, no, that's not it. Okay, you might have thought that, but no, this is the right way to think. And that's what he's doing here. Because even though we're totally forgiven, remember, it's not because of our performance. And God is seen as most loving and forgiving by doing this, that we are free not to keep on sinning, but to live for God. If we continue to sin, it does not bring glory to God. For God is not the author of evil, and he hates sin, the Bible tells us. And if his children represent him by deliberately living sinful lives, he's shown to be foolish, powerless, and really a bad parent. Continuing to sin, to live in sin, defies the truth that we have died to sin. Continuing to live in sin disregards the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. We are saved because we have joined Christ in his death by faith. Our old life is buried with him, and our new life is found in his resurrection from the dead. A life that is no longer bound to sin, but free. Our new life is complete in Christ, but not yet completely realized. Okay, we still wrestle with sin. We wrestle with remembering past sins and being tempted to return there or to submit to the sinful living of the culture around us. We're still surrounded by things that can lead us to sin, and we still wrestle with these things. But our desire is to love God, who loved us in giving Jesus to take our place. 1 John 1:6 says, we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. He goes on to say, though, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ. He is the sacrifice that atones for our sins. I say it's both, right? Okay, we've been set free. We don't have to be under the power of sin. It's been taken away. All right, but we still, in our human weakness, we still fail. We still fall. We still are tempted. We still give in at times, right? But the great news is that God knows that, right? And he doesn't reject us. He's already accepted us. We're already his. And so as his, we can come to him with the advocacy of Jesus, right? Speaking on our behalf. All right, Satan's the accuser, and I just have this picture in my mind of Satan saying, well, look what they did. They're supposed to be your children. And Jesus is there saying, I already took care of that. That's the picture we need to be seeing. And so we can come. We can come, no matter what our failures. It's not time to give up, friends. It's already been settled. And so Paul was saying, hey, don't just give in to it. You have power. But it's all because of God. And we keep coming back to him. So, we must live a life with the awareness that we are not who we were, but we are now in this place, as I've said before, Paul wrote here in this passage, that we are in this place of undeserved privilege. We've died to sin. Those who were baptized today, put this right out there. They publicly testified that they've given their lives to Christ. That they were shown to do that in the picture of baptism, okay? That they were buried with Christ, okay? All of the old life went down in the water, okay? All right. The water's not any different than it was, okay? It didn't get real dirty from all of us, okay? That's not what I mean. But the picture is definitely there. All right, buried with Christ, our old life, raised to new life in Christ. And that's where our hope is. And so they were raised from the water to go forward. They said, I'm going to follow Jesus, right? And that's what we're saying. And that's what Paul's saying. We go forward to live for Christ. We can live new lives. We may fail, but this is not really who we are. We are now in the process of becoming more like Christ. If we're not living new lives as Christians, it's not because we can't, but it's because we don't or won't. It's not because God's failed. It's because we're not trusting Him to keep us as He's promised. So we need to daily remember who we are in Christ, remembering that the power of Christ has and will raise us to new life. We need to admit our sin, to receive His forgiveness and His cleansing, and to go forward in serving the Lord. Interesting phrase here that Paul gives us, that sin has no power over us. Do you see that? I think we get mixed up sometimes and act like it does. Yeah. But we don't have to be there. Matter of fact, we need to think this way. We need to apply what God says is true, that sin has no power over us. We will win over it. Our sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. The glorious power of God that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that enables us to live new lives. There's nothing so great that God's power can't enable you to overcome. So we are no longer slaves to sin. We were. And before you knew God's grace in your life through faith in Christ, you were dominated by sin. We all were. Okay? You might be a good person. I mean, it's amazing God's grace showing in humanity that in His image, there's a lot of goodness that goes on, even though people might not be a Christian. Right? Okay, I got a lot of great friends that are great folks, but they're not Christians. But in reality, they don't have the power living in them that a Christian has, okay? They might be able to make some decisions that are good, but ultimately, they're still slaves to sinful thinking, sinful activity, and they don't have a way out. We can adjust here and there, but in reality, we're a slave to sin before we come to Christ. We don't have the power to change. But Jesus' death took away that power that was against us. And His resurrection took away the power of death. Someday it will be complete. These flowers represent a funeral service we had yesterday for Vera Egolf. Her husband Bob's here. I know he's really feeling his loss. Pray for him. But you know, the great hope is, right, that Vera has already realized what we're talking about. She wrestled here with a lot of health problems, and she wrestled, like we all do, with the sin that keeps lingering at times. But she had the victory, and now she knows how much that was there. We look forward to that day. Amen. To join. Jesus' resurrection took away the power of death, Paul says. 1 Corinthians 15 says this, that at Christ's return, at the end, He will turn the kingdom over to God the Father, having destroyed every ruler and authority and power. For Christ must reign until He humbles all His enemies beneath His feet, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Yeah, we've been set free. Death has no power over us. But we all will die unless Jesus returns before that. But, I mean, we're all going to face that. I mean, it is a reality that we must remember is before us. A lot of people try to ignore that. But as a Christian, we can celebrate the fact that that's just the next step to where we'll be with the Lord forever. Even though Jesus' earthly body died, 3 days later, as he said, he rose from the grave. There's eternal life in Jesus for all who believe. But we also must realize, too, that there is eternal death that awaits those who reject Christ. A very important decision that we must make. But for us, those who have come to Christ, those of us in this place of undeserved privilege, death has no power over us. So how are we to live in this time of tension? We're no longer slaves to sin, but we still are susceptible to it. Well, Paul says an interesting phrase here. Some of your older translations might use the word reckon yourselves, okay? He says here in the New Living, we need to consider ourselves, all right? Consider ourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ. The word consider here, okay, the original word that he uses is in the present tense. It's something we are doing right now, okay? All right, it's not like something we already did and it's all done. It's a constant thing, all right? We're right now doing this, okay? We need to constantly consider. Where do you consider from? I consider from here. Hopefully you do too. I think that's where, this is where things get started. This is where things are controlled. God has given us this. I was saying something the other day to somebody about some decisions we had to make. And I've been praying about it and looking for the Lord to give guidance. And one of the things that came to my mind was, I didn't hear God's voice. I'm not saying that. But it came in my mind, God might be saying, all right, I've given you a brain. I've given you some common sense. Maybe you can make a decision, right? It's okay. All right, there are times where that's true, right? Sometimes we might be looking for a sign and God's already leading. We just need to go on with the confidence that he's in us and guiding us. And if we happen to get a little bit off, the Spirit's willing to kind of get us back too, right? Yeah, but it's a constant process, isn't it? It's a constant process to consider properly who we are and what we should do. If you let off your guard, if you start letting other things dominate your mind, if you're not thinking in the way that God says we're to think, we can get off track. We need to consider ourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God. It's in the present tense. The way we live out our new life in Christ is to constantly consider ourselves to be who Jesus says we are now. To believe that what he has done is enough. To trust him completely. It's a process and should become stronger through time. When the countries of Europe that were overrun by the Nazi regime were liberated, the impact of that liberation took time to fully realize. I'm sure many wondered if it would last. There was much rebuilding to do. Living it out made it real. As Christians, we must daily consider who we are. In our prayer lives, we ask the Lord to help us know him, but also to know what that means for us today, to make a mental determination, to consider it, to live it out, to leave that which was holding on to us, and that leads to what Paul says to do and not to do. We must put our new status into action. And first he says, do not let sin control the way you live. As I read that, basically that tells me I have a choice. I have a choice. We all have a choice as a Christian. Remember, as we said, you don't sin because you have to, you sin because you choose to. And so, you can tell yourself, with the power of the Holy Spirit, to stop. The Bible says that, you know, that God's presence in you gives you the power to say no. Ask the Spirit to control you. Spend time in the Word and prayer daily. Be around other Christians who will help you make the right decisions. Tell yourself no. Take charge over your body, your mind, your mouth, your eyes, your ears, your hands, your feet. Don't let yourself do things you shouldn't do. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, he says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I might myself be disqualified. It's discipline. It takes work. If you're just saying, I'm a Christian and I'm just going to kind of float, you're in danger. Right? You need to be in the Word. You're here in church. Praise God. Okay? We need to be together. We need to encourage each other. Many of you are in small groups, and we're encouraging that. Okay? If you're not in a small group, I encourage you to let us know you're not and you want to be. Okay? We'll get you in one. But great places to really encourage each other in the faith and keep on the right direction. And in the Word and praying, so important that we're in that regularly. Take charge. Discipline yourself. I mean, I know many people who get up every day and go to the gym. I remember, by the way, I'm not doing that right now, and I probably should, but much of my life I have, okay? And I remember one time a lady in a church I pastored before, she says, Pastor, how do you do that? I said, well, it's pretty simple. I set the alarm for 5 o'clock. And the alarm goes off, and I say, I don't really want to get up, but I do. And then I get, and I wander around, stumble around, and I get my gym bag and get my clothes on, and I go to the gym, and then I work out, and that's how I do it. I mean, it seemed like a silly question in some ways, but, you know, many times that's how we are in our Christian walk. Well, how do you do it? Well, it really isn't that complicated. Christ has done what we need, but we need to be in touch with Him to take advantage of what He's already made possible. The Holy Spirit lives in you, right? But are you taking advantage of the fact that He's in you? Are you asking Him to guide you? Are you letting Him take charge? Are you reading the Word and hearing what God says? Are you praying and talking to Him about the things you're concerned about? Are you involved with God's people? Are you learning from other people as they walk with the Lord? Are we growing together? Do you have people that you're talking to that are helping you stay online? I mean, these are the things that we need to take advantage of, but how do you do it? Well, you might not need to set the alarm. I mean, maybe you do. I don't know. But there needs to be some kind of reminder. I know some friends that have things on their phone. Beep. Okay. Time for me to pray about something. Okay. Beep. Time for me to read the Word. I mean, it's okay. Whatever it takes. You know how you can discipline yourself. I don't know how Paul disciplined himself. As a matter of fact, some of the translations say he beat his body. All right. One of the old translations says that he buffeted his body. You remember that? Okay. And one of my friends says it really was buffeted his body. I said, I don't think you got that right, man. Yeah. I think you need to stop buffeting your body. Okay. All right. So it is not just about the spiritual, though, right? It's about the physical, too. Paul makes that clear here. What we do with our bodies is a part of the process. How we live, how we talk, how we use our minds, all the parts that God made in us. And so Paul then writes here that we're to use our whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. An instrument. Had some instruments up here this morning. Some of them, they're all sitting. This piano's still here. Look at that. Okay. I think the flute's over there. Got a guitar here. Drums. But they're not doing anything. How come? Nobody's playing them, right? You are an instrument, it says, for God to use and work in. The best instrument doesn't fight the musician. Have you ever, some of you musicians, you ever had an instrument fight you? Maybe. Your reed. Bassoonist over here. I mean, bassoon reed's really tough. Got to keep it wet, right? Yeah, I mean, trumpeter, bow sticks. I mean, you know, sometimes the instrument does fight, and it really is a pain. You know, you think you're going to hit that note, and then, you know, it's terrible. So, hey, we work hard to make sure it works. But the key is, when the instrument is usable, and the musician uses it as it's made to be used, it makes something beautiful. Get the idea? We are to be instruments for the Lord to use and play. All right? It's not because we got it figured out. It's not because we can make beautiful music on our own. It's because we let the master take charge. And it's amazing what he can do. It's beyond what we could imagine or think. That's what the Bible tells us. God is the one. But it takes discipline for us to let it happen because there's stuff in the way. Now, we end this section with the reminder of who we are now in Christ. Paul says that Christ is our master. Sin is not our master anymore. He says we are under God's grace. Basically, the word for us here is don't live like a slave when you've been set free. Okay? Don't live like a slave when you've been set free. If you fall down, get up. If you fail, confess. And remember that when you do, that the promise is right there, that he not only hears your confession of that sin, but he promises to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, that you really still are free, okay? The devil's going to want to remind you and keep you stuck, or your own mind might want to keep you stuck. I appreciate Christian counselors, by the way. I've benefited from them many times in my life, and I know others are. I think one of the roles of Christian counselors is to help us to get our minds in the right place, to think what really we should think and not maybe where we're stuck. Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to be there. You can do this. This isn't a Nike commercial, okay? Just do it. But you can do this. Why? You know it, right? Many of you memorize this verse. Philippians 4:13, you know it? You want to read it with me? Let's say it. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. I have nothing else to say. That says it. Let's be the instruments that God uses. Let's live out what he's already done in our lives. Let's give him thanks all the time, right? Let's continue to praise him for his care, his watch, his strength, and remember his power. His power that has broken the chains of sin. His power that has destroyed the power of death. His power that rose him from the dead is available to us who believe. Let's pray. We thank you, our Lord, for who you are and what you've done. We acknowledge again as we pray that we are lost without you. We are powerless on our own. We are slaves to our sinful nature unless we come to Jesus. But we thank you that in him we've been set free. So I pray that as we are in him, as we've trusted him, that we will live that we will consider ourselves as dead to sin and alive to Christ. For his glory, we pray. Amen.
Please stand and join us for our closing song.
righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross that Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid, here in the death. His body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since first has lost its grip on me,
great ending for this message, huh? Those words are right on for us today in that passage, and we go forth in the victory of our Lord. Just one more thought. Sin is such a struggle for us. We don't want to ignore that. And I believe one of the things that I think that we need to particularly tell new Christians, but it's true for all of us, that our awareness of sin becomes more intense, of course, once we become a Christian. And sometimes we think, oh, there's something really wrong with me because I'm still having this problem. Well, maybe that stuff was already there. You just didn't see it. The Spirit of God is at work. He's showing us. And God's gentle and kind. He doesn't bring it all on at once. All right. But there's continued work that he's doing. It's okay. Thank him for caring enough. I mean, something happened to me this week, and I don't even remember exactly what it was, but it was like, ooh. And it was like, okay, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for getting to me in this. I needed to see that in a way I hadn't seen it before, to really let you have the victory that you say I already have. So be mindful of those things in your Christian walk, okay? Hey, love you guys. Hope you have a great week. See ya. Our baptism folks, okay? Caitlin's down here. Where's Kylie? Kylie's over here. They're both down here. Come on down. All right, good.